Welcome to the Nottingham Business School Business Leaders Podcast, where business leaders tell their stories and share their insights. All our guests have a personal connection with Nottingham Business School, so listen, learn, enjoy, and share.
So, welcome to another episode of the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast with me, Mike Sassy. So, Marcellus Baz is a man whose life story is a testament to resilience, redemption, and relentless commitment to social change. Born into poverty in the centre of Nottingham, his early years were shaped by hardship and violence. There were mental health struggles, run-ins with the law, and the ever-present pull of gang culture. However, it was in a boxing gym that he found an escape. There, he discovered people with a shared discipline that inspired him. Baz seemed poised for a professional boxing career, but at the age of 23, his dream was cut short when a knife attack by local gang members left him with life-threatening injuries. He recovered, but never boxed professionally. What he did, though, was turn his life around. He enrolled at college, secured a job at a local sports centre, and became a mentor to the young people around him. And so, his switch-up social enterprise was born, providing jobs, education and mentoring to scores of young people. Through switch-up and alongside his Nottingham and Mansfield schools of boxing, Baz has dedicated his life to offering young people a way out of crime and poverty. In recognition of his community leadership, Baz was awarded the British Empire Medal in 2017 and named BBC Sports Personality of the Year's Unsung Hero in 2016. And he continues to make an impact in his home city, bringing together local business people, charities and public figures to drive social change. Because Marcellus Baz is one of Nottingham's most committed, most engaging ambassadors. And we are delighted to have him here with us for this episode of the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast.
Mate, I was just listening to that in awe with my mouth open. I mean, that's
who is this man?
Exactly. Mike, I'm absolutely honoured to be here, honestly.
Hey, it's great to have you. So, Baz, and for listeners, I just need to tell everybody that's how everyone in Nottingham knows you, Baz. Your leadership journey has been a bit different to most of our guests on this pod. So tell us about growing up and how your early experiences shaped what followed.
Yeah, Mike, I came from poverty. I seen a lot of violence at home in my communities. And, it was a very difficult, challenging time. And, I had to go through some really dark times to be able to really shape the person that I am today. Because I've took a lot of them experiences into who I am today to shape what I do. That, helps me to be able to have that resilience and drive to be able to really want to make a meaningful change in my communities and specifically with young people.
So going back, looking back, did you ever think, maybe when you were, being chased by police, that you'd end up as a respected community leader?
Absolutely not. It was all about survival in them days. And, speaking honestly, the life all them years ago, it was more about surviving. You was thinking you're going to probably end up in prison or worse, even dead. So thinking about something like this is thinking about, are we going to fly to Mars? It
wasn't on the agenda.
No, definitely not.
We've had many conversations in the past over the years, and I've heard you on other podcasts, I've seen you on television talking about, you thought you'd be dead by 21. That's absolutely a profound thought, isn't it?
Absolutely. The kind of world I got pulled into was violence, destruction. You become desensitized to it. And you see people that are around you, that grew up with you, either ending up in prison or ending up dead. So you start to become desensitized to that. So you think you've got to live quick and you live in urgency. Everything is urgent. Everything is instant. And, I've kind of took that it with me in what I do today. And I think if we look at that in a leadership way, you know, if you start to do things with that urgency, you do things quicker, you do things faster, you know, and it really seems to work for me. So there's a lot of transferable skills that you can take over in this world. But at that particular time, Mike, you know, it was not a great time for me.
Right. And so you discovered boxing late teens, early 20s, and it was all looking good. You were thinking, you know, could be a professional career on the horizon. But then at 23, you were stabbed and it, you know, life-threatening injuries. You, as I said in the intro, you recovered, but you never boxed professionally. And you had a bit of a reassessment at that point. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to take you just back a little bit first. I mean, the boxing gym that I went to wasn't just a traditional boxing gym. It had a real community ethos. And for me, it was like a social leveller. You know, there was no ism. You know, there was no sexism, racism, any kind of ism, classism. So for me, it was a space where I could feel safe. I could start to have that trusting environment. And I had role models that were proper role models. I was actually shocked that some of these people had jobs and people had, like, you know, they weren't carrying knives or firearms and things like that. And, you know, that started to really change my mindset. And, you know, I always say, you hang around a barbershop, sooner or later you're going to get a haircut. And that environment is absolutely key, because now I'm a big believer, your environment influences your thinking. Your environment influences your feelings. Your feelings influence your thinking. Your thinking influences your actions. Your actions influence your habits, and your habits influence your destiny. So for me, being in that environment around those people and having a positive way to self-medicate rather than, you know, some of the other things kids were doing that had ingrained childhood trauma, where substance misuse, you know, going and drinking, taking drugs, taking risk-taking behaviour, all them kind of things. But for me, that was a positive way to self-medicate. And I was learning things. As simple as this, Mike, like there was a time where I was doing sit-ups and learning about Chateauneuf-du-Pape. You know,
sorry, you're gonna have to explain that. Chateauneuf-du-Pape. What's the connection there?
Well, I was doing sit ups, and I think there was a guy who was a lawyer, and he was talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to France to a vineyard. And I was thinking, well, mate, the last like drop of wine that I ever had back in the day, I heard that it was very much around, it was like vinegarish. You know what I mean? He goes, nah, mate, you haven't tasted the proper wine. It's like Chateauneuf-du-Pape. And it was being educated around things like that.
Right. All right. So in this gym was a different type of person, someone you hadn't come across previously.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you set up the Nottingham School of Boxing in 2013 and subsequently the Switch Up charity, social enterprise. How did all that come about?
So what happened was I was seeing lots of pain and destruction, violence, mental health, poverty, inequality in my communities. And I was seeing that there was nothing that seemed to be working. There was this real divide, disconnect. There was no bridges to be able to access opportunities or help or support. And young people seem to be going down a one-way street where, you know, you're going, you're coming from trauma, ingrained trauma, no support, going to education, getting excluded, getting into offending behaviour, getting either criminalised or radicalised, and then going to prison, or even worse, dead. So I wanted to make a change. So what I did, Mike, right, was I started to introspect into my own life and think, what did I need? As a young person, what did I need? What did other people need? So I started speaking and consulting with other people. Some of them, unfortunately, are not alive anymore. Some of them are in prison. Some of them are living in low socially economic areas. And there was five constants that came out of that helped me to be able to
And these are the five pillars on which you've based your charitable works.
Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. So for me, it was a bottom-up model. It wasn't a top-down. So it came from the community, from our experiences. And I came up with this five-pillar model that works. You know, it's been tested. We've got theory of change. It's been evaluated. We've talked this around the world, mate. Brazil, Denmark, other places around the world piloted it. It works. The symptoms might be different, but the root causes are the same.
But at the heart of it is your inspiration and motivation of young people who don't see a future beyond their current circumstances. How do you win their trust?
So, Mike, it's about being real, you know, it's about being honest and transparent. It's about sharing your own vulnerabilities and experiences and to genuinely want to make a difference. And I think if you speak from your heart, you reach your heart, you know, you reach their heart. And I think for me, I seen so much darkness, so much destruction and pain that it shaped me into what was needed to be able to communicate with other people in that darkness who had seen that I'd make that transition into a better place and was doing better in myself. So it was tried and tested. So it was easy for me to then help other support other people make that same transition.
So, and as part of that, you've built strong partnerships with businesses, organisations who support your mission, who traditionally wouldn't have been involved with anybody like yourself or the people who you grew up with. How have you built that collaboration?
First of all, it's about, you know, treating people with respect, you know, having that humility, not coming with an ego, not coming with pride, and genuinely looking at how we can look at a collective mission to make this world a better place, make this city a better place, you know. And for me, it was about having some of that recognition where, you know, Prince Harry came and visited us and commended us for the work that we did.
That was a big thing at the time, wasn't it? How do you get people like that involved? Because, you know, you're at one level of of society. You're Prince Harry over there. You've got big businesses, big organisations, people who, as I say, would traditionally not be involved with organisations like your own or people like yourself. How do you pull them through the door?
So Mike, it's about knowing what your why is. I think every leader who really has achieved something or is going to achieve something has to really understand their inner values, their drivers, and what their why is. And for me, when I did that introspection to get the five-pillar model, I also introspected in why my why is and what are my drivers. And my drivers were ultimately to become a humanitarian, to make this world a better place, to make the city a better place, to support people. So when you then talk to people, you talk with a different kind of conviction. You talk with a conviction that people really can relate to, because you're not talking about yourself anymore. You're talking about others. You're talking about making things better. You know, everybody has got, you know, similarities. We've got families. We've got children. We live in this city. We want this city to be safe. We want this city to be vibrant. We want our children to be safe. We want our children to have opportunities. We want them to reach their true potential. That's what I was offering people. So it was offering people like a clean glass of water, and they're going to take it. You know, it's about having that common goal and being able to communicate that in an effective way.
Okay, so I get all that. And one of the things I've heard you talk about is the magic that can happen when you bring people together. So how do you get, let's say, for example, I don't know, company chief executives into a boxing ring, as I famously once saw you do with teenage drug dealers? How do you set that kind of thing up?
So, Mike, again, you know, I believe in, you know, having that respect and having that communication and building that relationship and breaking them barriers down. And to do that, you know, we were having relationships. We invited people down, but we also look at, you know, what do they want from this? You know, it's really important to look at what they want to get out of this. And, you know, one of the things that they particularly want to get out is how do we look at finding untapped talent? You know, how do we nurture that and bring them through? How do we look at diversity? How does that link in ESG reports or social corporate responsibility? It's important that then you can present yourself in a way where you can give them something back. And then that's how that relationship happens. And that's what business is, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. So you're pushing the right buttons.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And in the end, you're running grassroots organisations, and the people that I'm talking about are senior business executives. And what leadership lessons from your world can they take into their world?
So first of all, it's, you know, you can't be afraid to be have that human side before your titles, before your position. You're a human being, and you can be vulnerable, and you can, you know, you can be you can speak in a way where you remove the egos and the pride, and you can speak to people at where they're at. You can listen to people, and most importantly, it's about how do you get people invested in your vision that you've got to take, you know what I mean? And I think for me, having people that have got similar values around you, people that are on the same page as you, that fellowship of people that you can actually seek counsel from is really, really important. But it's really important to help people to link into what their why is, into your ultimate vision. And then you're walking through the same door. There's not that conflicting energy. Because if everybody's got the same energy, they want to go through the same door. And in my case, want to make this city vibrant, thriving, and safe, then, you know, that's what we all do together.
And that's fascinating, because at one point in your life, or you grew up with, surrounded by people who are, as you say, perhaps now in prison, or perhaps even worse, in dead. You know, they were involved in things like drug dealing. Now you're surrounded by captains of industry, and we were just talking earlier, chief constables, bishops. You know, it's a completely different social strata. How do you jump from one to the other? Or do you see similarities?
No, absolutely. There's leadership similarities, because, you know, in both places, you have to stand for something or you fall for anything, you know. And you have to learn how people communicate. Like, for example, in the world all them years ago, Mike, you know, when I was living that life, I didn't have an education. I didn't go to university, which I wish I did, and I wish I had the opportunity to do, because coming from the areas, you know, university was like traveling to the moon again, you know. But in that time, you had to learn quick lessons, and you had to be able to look at affirmations, look at body language, look at, you know, energy. You have to look at all these different things, and to be able to communicate with people effectively, because in them days, you know, you don't go through a grievance procedure, you probably get stabbed. You know what I mean?
So, if you have a problem.
Yeah. So there's different odds. And I think what's happened is I've learned them transferable skills. And I think when, you know, I'm very fortunate, and I'm humbled to be able to have people around me that are great leaders. And I learn from them. And, you know, the most important thing is respect, it's communication, and it's having a similar mission, a collective mission. And when you can pull all that together, then, you know, it's important. And I think having that fellowship and having them leaders around me, with many of them are supporting, mentoring, advisors, is absolutely key. Because for me, if, you know, I'm going to give this a quicker example. If I was going to build a house and I was going to have the best roof that I wanted it to have, I'm not going to go to a vet for that advice. I'm going to go to a construction consultant, and the best one. So that's how I see, you know, surround yourself with great people, with great aspirations that are drivers and at the best of their, you know, sectors.
Top of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we're going to take a quick break from our chat to mention the MBA programs at Nottingham Business School. As we've learned from many of our guests, effective business leadership is about confidence, adaptability, and thinking strategically. These are the key ingredients to delivering innovation and impact in crowded, competitive markets. So if you are ready to transform your career, visit ntu.ac.uk/MBA to explore the MBA programs at Nottingham Business School. We're one of only 1% of business schools worldwide who hold the prestigious Triple Crown accreditation. That's ntu.ac.uk/MBA to find out more. Now back to the show. Okay, so let's drag it back to serious business. You've lived in Nottingham all your life. Mm-hmm. You absolutely love this place, but its problems are well documented. Our local issues often make national headlines. And I was watching television last month and I saw you on telly after a youngster was stabbed in a city centre shop, broad daylight. And I heard you say, sometimes it feels like we are fighting a losing battle, but we will keep going because we have to give our community hope. Now, resilience is something that some leaders struggle with. And as a community leader, important community leader, who people look up to, how do you keep going?
So hope is something that's really, really important, because if you become hopeless, then there's, you know, that's where many people just stop existing. So for me, hope comes from the wins. You know, hope comes from the stories that are of people that have made them transformations and that have reached their true potential. You know, hope is the light that we must keep seeing. And that comes from great people in this city that are, you know, that have got so much goodwill, that really want to make this change as well. And it's about pulling people together. And the reason I said about the losing battle is we as SwitchUp is an organisation that is working with lots and lots of young people that are at risk, that are struggling with, you know, are vulnerable, struggling with poverty, mental health, offending behaviour, at risk of that. So we're working with some of the most hardest to reach young people and with complex young people. Now, we are doing a great, you know, from the impact, you can see we're doing a great job. However, we've still got 150 people on our waiting list. So that's an issue. And when you really dissect that, we're addressing the symptoms of bigger systemic and structural issues. So that's when you start to think we've got to keep going. So that's when we start to have to look at how do we start to address these structural and systemic issues. And, you know, I'm sure we'll come to United Knots, but that's somewhere, something where we have
to... So let's explain that. So yeah. United Knots is the process by which you're drawing together police, health services, business leaders, academics, and you're drawing them together to promote everything that is good in the city, but also to write down what needs to be done to pass on to our politicians, our local MPs, that then they could take that on to Parliament.
Absolutely, Mike, because with SwitchUp, you know, we couldn't do that. We were addressing the root causes, so we had to look at a model that would address systemic structural issues. So we brought together, it was myself and Vicky McClure, you know, Vicky is an amazing ambassador, you know, amazing
big ambassador for Nottingham. Big ambassador for Nottingham.
Yeah. So we sat down and she's our patron as well. She's a patron of SwitchUp as well. And we were talking about, you know, some of the things we could do together to support SwitchUp. And I was speaking to her about, you know, it seems a losing battle. More and more people are coming through. We haven't got the resources. We haven't got the boots on the ground to deal with this. So we need to address these systemic issues. So we came up with this idea about United Knots. It was about bringing people from cross sectors together to look at addressing some of the pressing issues that we're facing as a society together, but also learn from some of the solutions each sector has in actually addressing some of these solutions. So we came together, we did a huge event last October, and on the back of that, we are now doing we've just done the first round table, which the two themes that came out of that was mental illness and mental health challenges, and the second one was youth violence, you know, knife crime and etc. So we've done the first one. We got key people from researchers to leaders within counselling services, psychiatrists. We got carers. We got people that were impacted by mental health. So it's getting that all them voices together.
All these voices are coming together. It's going to be written down and it's going to be taken to government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we really want to help. We're hoping that will then influence policy and address some of these structural issues and make this city, this county and this country a much better place to live in.
Good stuff. So is there one leadership habit or maybe principle that over the years you can now hang your hat on, something you swear by, something that has helped you sustain your impact, do you think?
Honesty, integrity, respect, humility, compassion, and being courageous. Because as a leader, Mike, you know, when I'm talking about courageous, sometimes we can get influenced, right? We can get influenced and we can start off with really good intentions, and politics, money, power, all these different things can kind of sway us away from what we're doing.
Distract you.
Absolutely. And I think it's really, really important to be a courageous and authentic leader, to understand what your why is and what your mission is, and to be able to stick to that, you know, and to help you to be able to do that. It's having that moral leadership, you know, to stick with that moral leadership, because life can sway us. You know, lots of things happen, money, power, you know, influence, position, there's bureaucracy, red tape, corruption. There's lots of things that are out there, Mike, but you've got to navigate through that and stick to what you were originally came out to do.
So it's those values, it's that moral leadership that underpins everything else.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also I would say it's relationships. It's about making sure that you have good relationships with people, you know, all people, because when you've got good relationships, my father always says to me, right, back in the day, he said, one strand on a brush will not clean the place up, but when you get a few strands together, you can make a difference. And this is how we have to come collectively, and collectively you've got to have relationships and you have to have the right communication and a collective mission to be able to make that difference.
Good stuff. And finally, as you know, this is a podcast for the Nottingham Business School. So if you were to give one piece of advice to business leaders and future leaders at the business school, people who are looking to create real social change like yourself, what would it be?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a good question. First of all, I think, you know, understand yourself, and look at, you know, a lot of the times we look outside, but we don't look inside. And I think it's about looking at yourself and looking at where your strengths are, to work in a strength-based way. But then to look at, you know, where you can improve on yourself, and then look at your team as well. Because sometimes your team is actually better in certain things than what you are in. So it's about how do you put that jigsaw puzzle and put the pieces in the right places, and to look at things. Because a lot of the times, Mike, we end up on the dance floor where we can't see things properly. So sometimes it's about taking a step back and going on the balcony and looking down and seeing where things are. So my advice would be relationships, communication, but most of all, get to know who you are.
So look to yourself, bit of introspection.
Yes.
Good stuff. Hey, Marcellus Baz, it has been fantastic to talk to you. Thanks very much for sharing your story with us on the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast.
Absolute pleasure.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast with Dr. Marcellus Baz, why not listen to previous episodes with the MD of Via East Midlands and ARC Partnership, Dan Mayer, the Chief Executive of Nottingham Building Society, Sue Hayes, or the Managing Director of Morgan Sindal, Sean Bowles. This episode of the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast was produced by Russell Bingley and presented by Mike Sassy.